This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
All right, our next guest is back. And that might be the worst news the rest of the conference can get because he suffered an injury, thought he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. And we knew him, he could be back here soon. But Wes, Justin Champagne, he said, hey, I'm good to go. Let's go play some ball. And boy, did Pitt put on a show against Syracuse this weekend. With that said, Justin Champagne joins us. He has been with us before. Justin, first of all, good morning. We appreciate the time. And man alive, I would ask you how you're doing. I think you kind of proved it Saturday, didn't you?
Good morning, y'all. But yeah, I mean, I'm feeling good. I'm ready to get back out there and try and get some more wins.
You were fantastic Saturday. We were all crushed when we heard about the knee injury. I would say, was it hard going through the, you know, missing games and things like that? But the way this season goes, I guess you've only missed a couple ball games because of postponements and that kind of thing. So what was that process like? Because it didn't seem to stem your play at all once you got back Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I only missed two games, but I had tech rehab, and I just knew, like, I was going to come back before 6 to 8 weeks, and I put it in my head that I'm going to get back and be in the core with my guys sooner or later. So I just worked at it, and everything came together.
Well, you proved that. From a mental standpoint, was that the hardest thing to get over the hurdle to say, hey, listen, I'm good, all right? Because, you know, again, we heard 6 to 8 weeks. I'm thinking, well, probably going to be late January maybe till we see, and then I hear, oh, my God, Justin's back. And, man, then you go off for 24 and 16. From a mental standpoint, when did you know, hey, I'm good, let's go play?
I knew like a week or two back where we was in practice and I caught a dunk. And then I started to run around and move more. And I just said, yo, I'm going to be back before the set timetable.
Justin, the numbers this year have been incredible. I mean, you're doing stuff that Pittsburgh hasn't seen since Charles Smith. But the idea of your season, how much of what is happening this year was born late last year when you had, I mean, you played great at the ACC tournament, but you finished the regular season strong. How much of last year is responsible for this year in your mind?
I kind of like let go of last year. That's what I was told to do by a lot of people. Like, last year's in the past, and you got to work out and get better for this year because everybody's going to come at me differently. So I listened to coach and we just worked out on it. And I guess everything's falling into place now.
Justin, about this team, you know, Wes and I have been breaking this thing down, trying to figure out who's going to be the alpha in this conference. And there's about five or six or seven teams that we're still not sure because the pandemic starts, stop. You know how this goes. But, you know, you guys are kind of laying in the weeds, man. I mean, you know, you're kind of sitting there and everybody's talking about Virginia, and rightfully so. And Florida State won it last year. They're really talented. And Virginia Tech's gotten off to a great start. And Louisville's really good. But I get a sense that you guys kind of know who you are, and maybe the rest of the league doesn't. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, last year, you know, we kind of struggled in ACC play, but this year we got a chip on our shoulders, and we want to come out there and prove that we belong in this league and that we can make an impact.
Well, the other part, too, that, you know, I think a lot of people realize that you were a versatile guy. But your team has embraced almost the explosiveness you showed. I mean, you got guys doing a lot of different things and covering a lot of ground here. What's the difference in this particular team from the one a year ago that just seems you guys have been able to bond? And even through all the ups and downs that this season's brought to a lot of teams, Justin, you guys have been able to really kind of maintain after kind of a couple bumps at the front end.
I feel like this year's team, we're more together. Like, you know, everybody – is one, we're all united, we all want the same goal. And I just feel like we all listen to each other and that we know that the pandemic like changed a lot of things, but we create our own energy day in and day out and we just feed off of that. We feed off each other.
How big a deal was it the first Syracuse game where you guys found yourselves down 16, 18 points and it looks like, oh, we're going to lose this one. But, man, there was no quit with your team. I mean, that just seemed to be – a catalyst for just really, hey, we're going to the next level with that great comeback and, of course, the explosion in the second half against that same Orange team.
I mean, it was a struggle at the beginning of the game. You know, all our heads went down. But at halftime, coach said, pick your heads up. You know, we're going to be good. We just went out there and fought. You know, we earned that win, and we earned this one, too.
I'm curious to know of the, and I'm going to say, hey, I'm talking to a sophomore and I realize I'm getting ready to call you one of the older guys on the team, right? But of the younger guys, which ones have surprised you? Who do you think has seen kind of this development come along and now kind of accepts the stage of where you guys are? Because let's be honest, this is what you went through a year ago to kind of get to a point where you've got your destiny in terms of the ACC really in your own control.
I would say all the freshmen kind of surprised me, you know. I know Will really surprised because he's young, and I didn't really expect him to come in and make a huge impact, but he impacted the team a lot. Femi impacted the team a lot. You know, he plays a lot of minutes. He doesn't turn the ball over a lot. He gets to the spots, makes the shots, and makes good passes. And Noah just to come in and be ready every time his number is called and get rebounds and box out and be physical.
Hey, I don't need to remind you what's happening tomorrow because Duke's coming, and they've not played in a week. When you've watched film of the Blue Devils, and they haven't played a whole lot of basketball either. It seems like they take a lot of time off in December. They've been off for a week. It just kind of feels like a big game. I know every time you see Duke it is, but just, again, the snapshot of where the league is right now, where Pitt is in the standings, where Duke is in the standings, this feels like a big deal Tuesday night.
It definitely is. We're not taking this game lightly. I feel like last year at Duke we should have won that game, but of course we didn't. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like we have a chance, you know, to be a really good team, and this is a stepping stone for us if we could make this game and win.
Well, I tell you what, it's great to have you back on the floor. Pleasure to watch, man. Your energy and your intensity level is something special. Justin, anything in particular happened in the offseason lockdown-wise? I mean, I know you talked about visiting with Coach Capel and working on certain things to get better, but was there a breakthrough in your mind about your game headed into this season?
I don't know. I started to feel like I kind of come on in practice where like, I felt like I was doing more things. I was making more shots, being a better team player and all that. And then, I don't know, it just kind of clicked. I kind of spoke to my mom, my pops, my brother, and everything just started to click in for me, and I just started to play the way I'm playing now.
Justin, your team kind of reminds me of your city. You guys seem to be a bunch of tough guys, right? And you're kind of undersized a little bit. You know, nobody's really talking about you in terms of the big picture. I think that all plays into the way you guys like to play. And that is, hey, that's right, you guys keep doubting us because you know what? When it's go time, we're going to stick our nose in your business. Is that a fair description of the toughness of this basketball team?
Definitely. We know that nobody's going to give us nothing. Nobody can give us no credit because how we played last year, they feel like this is just always the beginning of the season. They just can't start it. They might go down and lose a couple games, but we got a chip on our shoulder and we want to win. We're tired of losing. We want to change this program around.
Is that hard for a New York guy to say he's playing like he's got Pittsburgh attitude?
I mean, it's not hard for me. I mean, I know where I'm from, but right now this is where I'm from. And I'm going to play with all that Pittsburgh.
But there's you can't tell me now, Justin, there's an edge to that New York game now. Come on, there's an edge in New York now.
Of course, it's definitely different than a Pittsburgh basketball, but – I mean, I just got to bring the New York game to Pittsburgh and everything works out.
Well, I know this much. That last team you played from New York probably wish they had you because they're just sick and tired of looking at you, Justin. They've had enough of you guys. They're glad you guys are off the schedule. We wish you the best, man.
All right. Take care, my man. Be well. Great to have you back on the floor.
Thank you.
All right, Justin Champagne and Pittsburgh, a big winner by 20 against the Orange the other day, and he had 24 and 16. If I need to remind you, and you saw the graphic on the screen, he is the only Division I player pack putting up the numbers he's putting up. And when you start to think of kind of where he is from a stat standpoint, it is absolutely scary. He is averaging 13 rebounds and 19 points. He's the only guy in Division I doing that. And we're not talking about a 6'10 guy.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about a 6'6 guy who makes plays at the rim. He plays, you know, the old adage, plays a lot bigger than he's listed. But, man, what a talented guy and so explosive. And for that reason alone, I just didn't expect him to be back right away. But, you know, Jeff Capel quietly has put together the right combination up there.
That's right. And here's the other thing, too. And I know Pitt hasn't played. Their sample size hasn't been great enough mm-hmm. where you can kind of get sold right. on them if you haven't seen them play. But when you start going through, like, all ACC selections, you asked me that question last week on the show. Justin hasn't played enough games to kind of grab your attention yet. But when he's played, he has been tremendous. Oof. Like, the numbers pop off the screen, which you just rattled. You definitely have to put him in the conversation, the early stage. I know it's still the middle of January. We got a long way to go here. But if you haven't been paying attention to Pitt, that's why that game tomorrow night, I think, is really their first chance mm-hmm. to make a major splash. It just feels that way. That, hey, you know, they've beaten Syracuse a couple times, et cetera, et cetera. But they haven't played one of the quote-unquote big boys yet, if you will. And Duke, to me, right. is the perfect stage for Pitt. And it really, to be honest with you, it's kind of the perfect mm-hmm. stage for Duke because we haven't seen the Blue Devils play enough basketball yet either. So that's why that game tomorrow right. is such a big deal. We got a big one tonight with Florida State and Louisville. Pitt and Duke tomorrow all of a sudden kind of feels big. Like it's an important stage of, hey, who's got a chance to get the upper step to get to that top five teams in the conference? Just feels that way.
Right. And I think he's definitely one of the four players, and we touched on this last week, and we'll go to break on this. You watch that game tonight on ESPN at 7 o'clock with Sean McDonough and Jimmy Dykes with Louisville hosting Florida State. You're going to see potentially two of the five first-team All-ACC guys in Carlique Jones of Louisville and MJ Walker of Florida State. Right. And I'm not dismissing Scotty Barnes in any way. I'm just telling you that right now MJ Walker and Carlique Jones are two of those guys. The other two are Justin Champagne of Pittsburgh and Jay Huff of Virginia. And I don't think I'm talking out of school here, right,
no,
Pac?
I think
that's a fair assessment of where you are.
Yep.
So it's worth watching that game tonight and then watch the other game tomorrow night because you know when Duke wants to take – Duke's calling card is their ability to take the other guy's best player out of the mix.
Yep.
No matter what kind of team Coach K has, that's their calling card on defense.
Hey.
So the assignment tomorrow night will be see if they can reduce number 11.
And you know, Hurt's been fantastic for Duke. He has absolutely said, hey, get on my back, let's go. Something's got to give in that game tomorrow with
yep.
Duke. And
I agree.
And I kind of feel the same thing tonight with Louisville. You know, the tough loss at Miami, I don't think any of us expected that to happen. And all of a sudden, you've got a quick 48-hour right. turnaround, and you got to take on a Florida State team that shot the lights out of it against NC State, shot the ball well against North Carolina. And they're glad to be back playing again and get into that rhythm of playing and have so many dudes. So, again, back-to-back nights of ACC hoops with both those games. And one tonight with Florida State Louisville and Duke Pitt tomorrow, we'll get some more answers. Again, this is really kind of an interesting week of games schedule-wise this week.
Yep. We showed you a clip earlier from ACC Traditions. Don't forget that the Pittsburgh debut is tonight right here at 7 o'clock. In-depth history of the Panthers, all the great teams, players, and coaches. Never before seen footage, and be on the lookout for those Sugar Bowl windbreakers. 7 o'clock on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. It's a good one. When we come back, Power Hour rolls on. Quentin Hillsman coming up bottom of the hour. Syracuse women picked up a big win. And statement Saturday on the men's side, especially for Virginia and Florida State. It's next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Big Q is coming up here in 15 minutes. Last time we had him on, I asked him about shaving. Remember? He was talking about, Pack, you got to get a good, clean shave.
And we turned it into a promo.
Yeah.
Turned it into a promo.
I thought of him this morning walking the dogs because it was a bit brisk this morning. And I thought of Q. I was like, man, that clean shave feels like razors going in your head. Forget it.
Did you, by the way, just for the record, did you stay in the suit all day on Friday?
Yes, I did. What did I tell you? I told you I was going to stay in that thing till midnight, and I did.
Yeah. Way to go.
I mean,
that's the longest you've been in a suit in how long?
Since the show 200. I don't wear a suit.
You didn't keep that one on all day.
No.
You didn't keep that suit on all day.
Not at 200, but I did 300. I did the radio show in the suit.
Good.
Friday.
Yeah, there you go. I'm sure the folks listening on SiriusXM really enjoyed it.
They did. The show Friday rocked.
Did you tell them you were in a suit?
No. I did not.
Oh.
We had a killer topic Friday. Okay. Friday's show was off the show. Okay. It was great Friday. Today's show
will be good too.
Let's talk about Kim Mulkey today. We'll go there today.
All right. Here we go. Let's go. Statement weekend for Virginia and Florida State. Now, when we present this, we're not telling you that everybody else is gone and can't recover. But coming off this weekend, you got to tip your hat to the Cavaliers and the Seminoles pack, especially Virginia, to win at Clemson, to get the enormous start early. Tigers go stone cold from the floor. And Virginia took advantage of it and never let go. And the Cavaliers shot it brilliantly and winning by 35 at Little John.
Yeah, you take the lead 29-5 with 5.5 minutes to go into first half. You're in pretty good shape, especially the way they normally defend and hold on the basketball. But they just offensively was what was so impressive about them. Yeah, Clemson couldn't throw it in the ocean. They couldn't throw it in Lake Hartwell. But you know what? Virginia could. And, man, they shot the basketball. And it wasn't just one guy. It was a bunch of dudes lighting it up. And they made their first nine threes in the second half. Timber A special. They made 17 of their first 19 in the second half. I mean, they were just crazy good. And, yeah, Clemson had issues, but that'd be a Clemson problem. Virginia didn't. And after putting an 80 spot on Notre Dame prior to this game, they put up 85 in this one. And it was never in doubt from the very get-go. And I think they made a statement because this is a Clemson team that defensively – was the best in the league, man, they had no answer for the Hoos. None. Zero. Oh. And so Virginia, now 5-0 in the conference. And really was the first game I thought that they played a team of note that they looked the part, right? We went through their schedule strength and all that on Friday's show. You know, they played the Gonzaga. Nobody had any success against the Zags. They're the number one team in the country for a reason. But I thought that was the first time this year Virginia gave you one of those statement games where you went, yep, that's why they were picked first. Tony Bennett's a great coach. Yeah. They got good players, and they are getting better, right? That's what good teams do. So I thought it was a definite statement game for Virginia and for Clemson. They got to reboot, and they got to just get back to playing and practicing and get back in that routine that they had prior to this game before the pause. And they get Georgia Tech, who hasn't played in 2 weeks on Wednesday. But Virginia, in this particular case, outstanding on Saturday night. Really, really good.
Well, and the other part, too, is you start looking at Florida State, who came off pause, shot 71% in beating NC State the other night, and then turns around without Scotty Barnes available on Saturday. Leonard Hamilton trying to get him fresh, and hopefully he's able to play tonight at Louisville. But MJ Walker and Raekwon Gray guide the Noles to a win over Carolina. So Virginia and Florida State post impressive wins and kind of keep it going here in the ACC.
There's no question. And there's some more teams that we throw into the mix. But I thought these were the two big games of the weekend in which we were going to learn more about the upper tier of the league. And I think we did. I think Virginia kind of solidified the fact that, guess what? You put us wherever you want in accounting, but if you don't have us in the first two spots or three spots, you're making a mistake. And for Florida State, hey, more of the same, right? You mentioned Raekwon Gray has 19 career high. It almost seems like every game there's MJ Walker and somebody else that really lights it up. I mean, they've got so many players. But that was a really, really highly entertaining basketball game with Florida State and North Carolina. Could have gone either way inside 3 minutes.
Knowles shot it well, been shooting it well at the free throw line. Walker has been tremendous for them. He even tweaked an ankle, came back, and still managed to make some key plays down the stretch when the ball game got a little close. By the way, North Carolina got Anthony Harris back on the floor. He was dressed, did not play in the ball game against Syracuse earlier in the week, but he played on Saturday, and his energy and his impact was felt right away, certainly in the relationship with Caleb Love and R.J. Davis and Kerwin Walton on the perimeter. Seth Greenberg said in our 8 o'clock hour, certainly made Leaky Black's life a lot easier too. Be interesting to watch Carolina as they get to Wake Forest later this week and the impact that Anthony Harris could have. Let's go to the standings, shall we? Because the way the standings set up, and we showed you this in the 7 o'clock hour, but it's worth a review here. that while you see Virginia at the top of the ACC, look at all the ones right behind the Cavaliers. Look at all the ones, Pack. Georgia Tech, who we hadn't seen in a while. Duke, who we see tomorrow night. Oh, there's Florida State, Louisville tonight at the Yum Center, staring you right in the face, too. Right in the face.
Yeah, that's what I said. The games tonight and tomorrow are going to have a major impact on accounting when we unveil ours on Thursday.
Yep.
But the team that was picked first before the season started right now is at the top of the list with a zero in the loss column. UVA.
Yep. Look at Virginia's. Virginia Tech's hit the minimum. They played their 13, by the way.
They're a good team. Man, Mike Young, he knows what he's doing. Like I said, if you watched the game last night against Wake, the Deeks had a chance 6-7 minutes ago in the game. That was tied up. Could have gone either way. I hate it for Coach Forbes because their team has given you spikes of playing really good basketball, just not been able to put together 40 minutes. And, again, they're going to get somebody at some point in time, right? You just kind of feel that they're due for one of those. But Virginia Tech's a good club. They're going to be a tough out.
You know, the thing that it would encourage me after watching last night about Wake Forest is, number one, the number of guys they're playing. But number two, Pack, they play hard every time now.
No question.
I mean, they get after it every time. And there's something to be said for that. When it's not been going your way and you had a 33-day break essentially in your schedule, you've come back, you've tried to regain your momentum and regain your continuity. I think he's done a really, really nice job of just kind of building the foundation. Nobody said that job wasn't going to be easy in a normal year.
Right.
But in this year especially, I think he's done a really nice job of putting some core elements in place there that they can build with. And you said they're going to get somebody, and he's going to be able – I tell you what, the Antonio kid comes in shooting it now. You better pick him up at the scorer's table because he comes in the game, that ball doesn't last long in his hands.
Yeah, I would just say this.
But they have done a nice job of developing players.
Yeah, somebody's going to be sound asleep and go, oh, yeah, we got Wake up. Yeah, they're at the bottom. They're near the bottom of the standings. And you're going to sound asleep, and Wake's going to pounce somebody. They're going to. I mean, they're really a basket or two away in some stretches, have already won a couple games. They just have not been quite good enough to get over that hump yet, but that's coming.
When we come back on this program, we're going to take it to Central New York. I bet it's nice and balmy up there this morning, right? A little Monday morning. No breeze, probably. I'll tell you who got a win, though. Quentin Hillsman and the Orange did. Priscilla Williams was outstanding. Sit tight. Coach joins us next on Packer and Durham.
Lift every voice and sing.
The NBA does a great job of, you know, spreading his messages, remembering his life and what he stood for.
I'm not in this situation, in this position, sitting here today without the sacrifice of so many people.
There's just inequality in all fronts, you know, in this world, but education's a big piece. So for me, when I gave back, you know, obviously giving back a gym is an amazing thing, to be able to give back a gym where I played basketball growing up. But, you know, the scholarship fund, giving back to not just the students, but the teachers who put their, you know, their time and their effort.
I'm committed to seeing the advancement of my community and African Americans. But at the same time, I'm committed to all people. I'm committed to doing right by everybody and to see that everybody's treated fairly. And I think that's where we need to get to as a country, to where everybody cares about how others are being treated regardless of their complexion or skin color.
Sometimes it may be uncomfortable to have certain conversations, but the positive thing about uncomfortable conversations are something is gonna come out of that. You know, the fact that we put everything on the table, we spoke about it, we talked about it, we tried to figure it out. Like, that's what's important. And at the end of the day, that's change, you know, because for so long, we wasn't able to have these conversations. But now, everybody is. So that's progress in its own way.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
On a Monday. 844.
Oh, man. Let's go.
ACCN.
Come on, let's go.
Quentin Hillsman is our next guest.
Take it to Central New York.
That's where I'm going. Big Q's up next. He says it's a nice balmy 28 this morning up there at Central New York. I know this much. When you put a 99 spot on the board, it's not cold out. That's all I know, Q. 99 stinking points. How about that?
It was fantastic, man. It feels good outside this morning. Yeah. When you score 99 points and you win. So it's a great morning for me.
I know that much. That's good coaching.
After the game, the coach was quoted as saying, I thought we played our pace. So now we know the pace is 99, okay? So that's the pace. Anything below 99 apparently is not the pace. Is that it?
I was talking about in a half. We played our pace in a half. So what, 54?
Oh. Okay.
No, we did a good job, man. We got up and down the court. We advanced the ball. We got the ball from side to side. And that's all we talked about during the time we've been off. We need to share the ball, get the ball side to side, and obviously get the ball inside to the big girl because she can score.
You know, you told us before the season that you wanted to get up and down the court. You thought your team was built to get up the floor and score a bunch. That probably is exactly what you had in mind yesterday. When you got folks making shots and, again, you start playing with confidence and rhythm like that, it becomes addicting, doesn't it? Where all of a sudden it seems like everybody can score.
Yeah, it does. You know, coming into the season, we knew that we wanted them to play fast and get up and down the floor. But we had to get our freshmen playing our pace. And I think that having those first six games and having some time off really got them going. And I'm really excited to see what's next.
Okay, Coach, we talk about Tiana. We talk about Kara Lewis. We now hear about Priscilla Williams, Cardoza in the middle. I mean, and oh, by the way, we got this really good problem in the ACC where – later on today, I'm guessing we're going to have number one and number two in the country in this league. So where are we in the ascent of women's basketball in this conference this particular year? Because this looks like I don't ever recall the ACC being 1-2 nationally, and I don't recall more than a handful of teams ever being number one. So where are we in this ascent of this league in basketball right now?
That's what I said at the beginning of the season. That we got teams that can go to the Final Four. We can put multiple teams in the Final Four. Louisville, they're fantastic. Jeff is doing a great job. He spreads the floor and shoot the ball. West has a really good balanced attack inside out. And those guys are great, and they should be one and two. If they're not, I would be surprised.
And your team can score, so that makes you always dangerous in that conversation too. Now listen, Priscilla Williams goes for 26 yesterday. She makes every shot she looks at except one. She missed a free throw. Would you like to care to explain how that happens?
Yeah, there's a question. On the one shot that she missed, I actually coached her. So, I mean, I screwed her up. I should have left her alone. I said something to her about the play before on defensively, and she looked at me, and I kind of said what I had to say, and clank, you know, so... I told her, listen, there's only one perfect 10. We know what it is, man. It's Bo Derek, man. You got to miss one. You can't
Coach,
go perfect.
Let me
Coach,
tell you
these
what.
Kids don't know who Bo Derek is.
No, that's exactly right. They've never
they better ask somebody. They better ask somebody.
I know this much. You would take that game every time, though, right? I mean, Priscilla puts a 26 spot up there and was so efficient with the basketball.
If the ACC would agree to put 99 on a scoreboard every game for me, we would never show up until the NCAA tournament. Yeah. There is no question. 99 points is a ton of points, but we shot a high percentage. And like I said, when we got the ball going side to side, and Priscilla just really got the ball and shot it well. And she was just she was on fire. I don't know what to say. She was just on fire.
Okay, but you got a team of scorers now, and you're playing in a league where you're 6-1, you're 3-1 in the conference. This season is awkward. It's uncomfortable. It's hard to get any kind of continuity to it. So what's the secret to maintaining? What's the secret to carrying this forward for you with this team that's obviously got several people you can count on?
I think it's about sacrifice. You know, we're all sacrificing a lot of things to be able to play this season. Staying healthy. Staying negative with these COVID tests, and just continuing on to play your schedule. I think that's important to continue to play games, continue to stay healthy. And I feel that if we can stay healthy and continue to play, I feel good about our chances.
Got to ask you about Tiana. She gives you a little double-double for the first time in a long, long time. How's she doing?
She's doing well. She always had a triple-double. Don't forget she had the 9 turnovers. So.
Yeah, that's coaching again.
She always had a triple-double, man.
How's she doing?
A triple-double.
She's doing well. She's, you know, Tiana is really pushing tempo, and the ball's in her hand a lot, and she's just trying to make plays. And I just told her, I said, you know, let's catch and shoot a little bit, and you'll get some easier looks. And she made a couple of threes, and you know, she's getting back. I wouldn't want to play this season without her. I'm just very grateful and thankful that she's back on the court.
Yeah, me too.
But you know something, Coach? There's an interesting part about this, because last year we talked to you, and it was a touch and go type thing, right? There were some hit and misses with your team. I mean, you'd had some moments, and then you give one back. You get a big win against Louisville. I know you'd be disappointed you couldn't maintain. Some of those lessons from a year ago, though, seem to have sharpened your club for this year.
Yeah, definitely. I think that experience is the best thing for us, and we got the experience last year of being inconsistent. So now we know that we got to play consistent, we got to play tough, we got to play our way every night. And right now, we're doing that. I just really feel good about where we are. We have a young team, we have 7 newcomers, and they're playing. So when you have your young kids playing, we got to get some continuity. And obviously not having the preseason, not having a full non-league schedule didn't afford us the opportunity against outside the league competition. But we're one of the best leagues in the country, and it's very unforgiving. So you got to come out there and play good right away.
I know that your number one concern right now is next game, which is North Carolina. Wes and I have a good time with the net. We neither one of us can figure out what in the world's going on with the NCAA net rankings, whether it be the men's side or the ladies' side, because I've seen Syracuse ranked in the top 25 all season long in the AP poll. Then I look up some net numbers, and I feel like maybe there's a typo. I've not come across Syracuse yet. Then I find you like 10th, 11th, or 12th in the league. Can you figure that thing out? And number two, does it even bother you in the sense that, hey, it really doesn't matter. We got to go win games, right? Big picture. You just go win. It takes care of itself.
Absolutely. And with the net, it's like the RPI. I don't know. I really don't. Yeah. I just know that if you don't lose any games, normally your net and your RPI is going to be probably like 1 or 2. So our job is not to become, you know, not to have to do the math. Just win your games and let the net take. But what I will say is one of my good friends watches Men the Net every day. And he said, man, you've been off and you've been up 3 spots. So maybe we need to stop playing and we'll be like 25 in the net.
Hey, don't say that, Q, because let me tell you something. As crazy and goofy as this year has been, you know what? You may go 2 weeks and not play a game the way we're going, right? I mean, you got to take advantage of every day you got. That's all I know. You got to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And the thing about it is, I tell our kids, it's not about the health of our team all the time. It's also about the health of our opponents.
Right.
So I think that as a conference and as a league, we have a responsibility to each other to do everything that we can do, to stay healthy so we can play our games. And talking to my colleagues around the country, I think the kids are doing a pretty good job. And this virus is just so, it spreads so fast, and you just don't know how it spreads throughout your team. So you got to stay healthy and keep playing.
Before we let you go, I want to ask you about Camila Cardozo, because at 6'7", she was going to come in and have an impact. But as a freshman, leading your team in scoring, leading your team in rebounds, block shots, things like that, did you expect her to have, and I know she came with a lot of accolades, but did you expect this kind of impact right away from a freshman?
I knew she had a chance to be dominant. 6'7", athletic, runs the floor, can score in the paint, definitely can get rim to rim on the midline. And that's what you want your big to be able to do. And at 6'7", if you can do that, you can make an impact on both ends of the floor. And I think that she's going to definitely benefit for some perimeter shooting where teams really can't sag on her. And hopefully we can continue to make shots and make her job easier.
Coach, you got North Carolina next. I know they've kind of been snake bit here recently, but that's still a really talented team that Courtney has in Chapel Hill.
Absolutely. Very, very good team. They have a lot of balance. They have great perimeter play. Obviously, we got first team all conference player in the paint they can throw the ball to. So we got to play well. You know, they're going to come in here playing well. We understand what it is. It's conference play, and we need every win. And we got to protect home court. So we're looking forward to the challenge tomorrow.
All right. Always great. Appreciate the time. Stay warm up there. I know it's a little chilly this morning.
It's okay, man. Just barbecue weather, man. It's barbecue weather. Don't worry.
Barbecue weather.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. It's always barbecue weather, Coach. 365, 24. It's always barbecue weather. Yeah. I'm just going to tell you that's the truth. Yeah. Keep up the good work.
All right.
All right, guys.
Appreciate
it. Thank you.
Quentin Hillsman.
All right.
You bet. Thank you. Head women's basketball coach at Syracuse. Always a great time. When we come back, some news over the weekend. In fact, one came down late Friday afternoon, right after show 300. Changing of the guard, so to speak, at Duke. We'll talk about the legacy of Dr. Kevin White as their athletics director. He will retire in August after leading the Blue Devils. We'll talk about Dr. White and more when we continue on Packer Durham.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. Many thanks to all of our guests. They're always excellent. Josh, Drew, Meg, everybody, the smart people up in Bristol, always do a great job at all that good stuff. Wes, you mentioned on Friday afternoon, there was a bunch of late breaking news Friday, of course, but one that directly affects the Atlantic Coast Conference. And, you know,
right.
Commissioner Swofford has got a couple more weeks until he steps down and Jim Phillips takes over. And Duke University will face a situation in which, hey, next man up, because the guy that's been running the show in Durham has been about as good as it gets as far as respect, championships, doing it the right way amongst his peers. People look at him as, hey, that's the way you're supposed to do it. And we're going to miss Dr. Kevin White, who's going to retire in August. But again, amongst his peers, he's about as good as it gets.
Yep, you're right, Pack. A 13-year run will come to a close in August. He replaced Joe Oliva as their director of athletics, and Duke has won 8 national titles under the administration of Kevin White, with certainly a window for more to come. But what a phenomenal run he has had, not only as a great leader in the ACC and at Duke, but also one of the real presence nationally as it relates to the landscape of college athletics. So his retirement announced on Friday coming down in August certainly creates a bit of a void. But the good thing, and I've said this before, as the legacy of these athletic directors and also in the case of the commissioner continues to evolve, we now see this next line of athletic directors coming along in the ACC that have had major impact and will continue now to escalate that impact with the retirement of Dr. White. And I tell you what, I'll be honest, in the years following the league, I feel very, very good about the hands the league falls into from an athletic administration standpoint, maybe now more so than ever across the board of the 15-member schools.
And I think one of the reasons for that is what everyone has had to go through, right? I mean, when you start talking about a pandemic, you compete, you want to win, you want Team A to beat Team B, regardless of what side you're on. But everybody's had to work together. And this is true amongst conferences, much less within a conference, that, hey, what issues are you going through at Syracuse? Maybe this is how we handled it at Duke. What are you doing at Florida State? I mean, everybody has been basically working arm in arm to try to figure this thing out from a pandemic standpoint. You got name, image, and likeness. There's so many issues that are going to affect every single athletic department. And when you go through a pandemic from a financial standpoint, everybody, not a few, everybody are going to have some really difficult, tough decisions coming up here in 21 and in 22 and the years beyond as we try to, you know, navigate through all of this. So I think you're right, Wes. From that perspective, I don't think the league has ever worked together better than what it's had to now, really since the middle of March when everything kind of got shut down with this COVID-19.
Yeah, and it's one of the things, and we'll see how this goes at Duke. Obviously, Dr. Price, the president there, will be at the forefront of trying to fill the vacancy with athletic director Kevin White's retirement. But at the same time, there'll be a pool of candidates, I'm sure, some familiar names and probably some from the outside too. But the way the landscape of college athletics is getting ready to evolve, you got to feel pretty good about where the ACC is from an administrative standpoint. And we certainly Look forward to talking to Dr. White at some point before he steps away in August here on Packer and Durham. The other thing that comes to note here, Mark, is that the season moves on here. And we talked about NC State and Georgia Tech kind of being on pause. Jackets are hoping to come off a pause from a basketball perspective this week on the men's side. NC State has already had a Wednesday game at Virginia cleared from the slate. And I mentioned this is the second time Kevin Keats and his group have gone through this.
Well, it's been weird, too, to see how teams respond, right? I mean, we saw Clemson Saturday night, right? They just couldn't, couldn't throw it in Lake Kiwi and look kind of sluggish and out of step and out of sorts. You also saw a team like Florida State kind of go through the same thing. What are they going to look like? Well, they came out and shot 71% and blew NC State's doors off. So you're never sure how teams are going to respond from this. Just being having the ability to practice is certainly critical from that perspective. So, you know, when Georgia Tech plays this week on Wednesday, God willing, I think they've got Clemson Wednesday night. I'm kind of curious to see how that plays out. And for NC State, you just want to win a game. I mean, it's been a while, right? You go through a three-game losing streak, then all of a sudden you got the protocol and you're pausing and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, a team like Virginia, who we kind of gushed over today, given how great they played on Saturday and looked like they've kind of turned the corner. Hey, there was a period of time in December where they were on pause, kind of rescheduled to, hey, let's go play Gonzaga. Who in the world steps up and wants to play Gonzaga, right? Well, Virginia did. Right. And now you look where they are here in the middle of January, and they look the part. So it's really kind of hard to put your arms around these teams to try to figure out how they're going to come out of the break, whether they're going to be fired up, can't wait to play, or it looks like, hey, back to square one. But it's been a while, like you said, for a couple teams in the league. So we'll keep an eye on that as we move forward.
Quick check of some games. We told you that tonight Florida State in Louisville is the only men's game scheduled, and that'll be over on ESPN starting at 7 o'clock. Here's a look at some of the games ahead this week. The ones highlighted are on ACC Network. That's NC State, Florida State, Thursday night, 8 o'clock. And then Friday night duels, we got a COVID cancellation for last week's Virginia Tech at North Carolina match. We're hoping Pitt and NC State can go Friday night at 6 o'clock with the duels. But Florida State, Louisville tonight. Then next Saturday, Clemson at FSU. Clemson visits Atlanta and Tallahassee. And then Duke is at Louisville on Saturday afternoon, too, Pack. It's turning into a big week for the Blue Devils, isn't it?
It really is. And again, they took a week off. Just the way the schedule broke. Hey, it was Duke's turn to take a week off, and now they go to Pitt and to Louisville. We are going to learn a lot about the Blue Devils. I keep telling you, I think there's an upside there for them, but I just haven't seen them play enough. And so tomorrow we'll get a dose of Duke on the road taking on a Pitt team that looked out of sight against Syracuse. And again, we just talked to Justin Chimpenny, and I think they're eager to play. It sounds like they got something to prove to the rest of the league.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And that'll be an interesting ball game tomorrow night with Duke and Pittsburgh. That's an ESPN 9 o'clock start, by the way, from the Peterson Events Center. Good way to start the week, Pack. Nice job.
Well, what would be nice is tomorrow night when we try to win $750 million that we start hitting some numbers. We start becoming a little bit more accurate than the $20 worth of tickets I bought and hit 3 of 60 numbers. 3 of 60, Wes. Seriously. Man, Saturday morning I woke up and like, all right, you know, I might not know this, but I could be worth about $750 million right now. Not even know it. And I'm looking, I go on this, you know, I find what it is. I find the numbers. I got the little sheets all over the place. I'm going, well, let's see. It's 5, no. Yeah. 19, no. 24, no. 48, no. Throw that one away. And I threw all the sheets. I'm like, for crying out loud, I'm allowed to get one number right just to feel like I'm participating here? One?
Well, in essence, you want to be more like Virginia and less like Clemson.
Right. I want to look like I'm making everything I look at. 3 of 60, like 60 numbers I selected. I got 3 right. 3.
Now, when are you going to go buy these tickets? Today? You going to do that today or tomorrow?
Yeah, no, today. Absolutely today. You kidding?
Today.
Yeah.
Is the drawing tonight? Is that right?
It's tomorrow. I told you
tomorrow.
If I'm the luckiest man on the planet, which I kind of feel like I am already, but if I add to that, I will still be here working, even if I put $750 million in my back pocket. I'll take care of you boys. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Hey, if I hit it big,
appreciate that.
I will take care. I'm not sending you any, you know, stamp or any of that nonsense. I am going to take care of all of you. All of you. Everybody. Party's on me.
Great.
I win. Just telling that right
appreciate
now.
Appreciate it. It's on the record. Very quickly, later today, we expect the ACC to have the number one and number two women's basketball teams in the country. If it happens, it'll be the third time that it's actually happened since the creation of the Associated Press Women's Poll. 2006-2007, there was a six-week run where Duke and UNC were 1-2. The year before, 2005-06, there was a four-week run of 1-2 with Duke and North Carolina. We expect it'll be Louisville and NC State 1-2 later today. Thank you to Seth Greenberg, Neil Ivey, Justin Champagny, Quentin Hilsman, and more. On this show tomorrow, Virginia basketball coach Tony Bennett joins us. And we look forward to having you with us, too. For Josh, Drew, Meg, everybody on the Packer and Durham crew, thank you very much. Stay safe. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. right here for another edition. That'll be show 302, friends, of Packer and Durham. Have a great day.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.